Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk listeners, this is Chocolate Lady 64 tonight, and I'm hoping you guys are having a great evening. As you know, today was Veterans Day, so to all my fellow veterans out there, I want to say Happy Veterans Day. On my Facebook page, I named some specific people that I knew. Names going back through my mind that I forgot of people that have been real close to me down through the years. Well, anyway, as you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The holidays are starting to, show their little faces. People are doing different things now for the holidays already, which is good because this is November. Thanksgiving is in 2 weeks, and we should be, have a good Thanksgiving coming up. And things like that. You got Christmas coming up, too. Well, tonight, I want to come to you guys strictly because something that I read and I learned about, and I wanted to share this. Now, first and foremost, I want to say this is probably going to be a little controversial for some of you Christians out there, but just bear with me with the information that I'm going to give. You don't have to, believe it. You don't have to deal with it, but this is the information that is out there and stuff that we don't pay attention to. And it's so good to take time out to read things. We don't do that enough. And then we expect for everybody to learn stuff for us. And what we do is we want to be lazy and not learn it for ourselves. And then we get mad when we don't agree with a lot of stuff that's being read. Well, learn it for yourself is my first thing. I mean, if it's something I want to know, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to find out about it. I'm going to research it. I'm going to get what I can get out of it. I mean, if it's not something I agree with, okay, that's fine. But at least I know I've read and understood it from my point of view, opposed to somebody coming to me and telling me that this is what such and such is happening. So tonight, like I said, tonight the title of the show is Who Are We Listening To When It Comes to Our Souls? So I thought I would start this segment off because I'm going to be discussing something that's very controversial, and I don't know how to say it. It's a very controversial subject. People don't want to hear it. Lots of us religious folks don't want to hear it, but it's there, and it really is up to us to learn what we need to learn. I'm going to break this show down in 4 segments. This segment is basically going to be talking about the King James Version. And the second segment we're going to talk about, we're going to break down some of the televangelists. And that's why I gave it the title of Who Are We Listening To When It Comes To Our Souls? Who are we allowing to lead us when it comes to our souls? And you guys know about the Eddie Long controversy. Well, I'm not going on that segment. I'm not going there. I'm going to go in another direction with that because it's so publicized and everybody knows about it. I'm really not wanting to talk about that. So we're going to go in another area. I want to talk about Juanita Bynum. I want to talk about those type of people, the Osteen guy. And the reason why Joel Osteen is because I really like what he says. But then when I went back and listened to some other stuff, it kind of, okay, he's one of the feel-good televangelists. Everything he says, just feel good. You need to feel good. And these people are knowing what they're doing. I mean, these people have churches 30,000 strong, and you're leading a whole people, generation of people to hell. And we're allowing it. So I want to kind of bring out some stuff with him. There was a book that was written by Mr. Armstrong. I think his name is Michael Armstrong. And he was from this area, from where we're at. It's called Pimps in the Pulpit. I had a copy of it, and you guys, I don't know, maybe by the next show I'll be able to find it. And I want to read some stuff out of there, what he says about some of this. I think about T.D. Jakes and all these different people out here that's leading thousands and thousands. I can say millions because you know worldwide, millions of people in the wrong direction, and we just think it's fine. And people will fight you over their pastors now. So I want to get into that later on. Like I said, I'm going to try to break these down in segments, and I want to do it four of them. So hopefully next week I could start on my next show, and I think it was Joel Osteen is the first one that I wanted to kind of talk about. Tonight, if you want to call in, it's 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. Now, first of all, I want to talk about the King James Version of the Bible. And what I'm going to do is I found some pastors that were discussing that don't believe in the King James Version and explain why. So I want to play some excerpts from them, and I'm going to stop from time to time for you guys to, take a breath, and I mean take a breather, and I'm going to play some music so you guys kind of, you know, get some stuff on your mind and let it just sit there, sink in just a little bit, okay? So, again, and I'll say this every show because I want you to understand, I want you guys to bear with me. Okay. Let's see. I can get going. Let's see. And this is Dave Corner, I think that's his name. That's the one who's doing this excerpt for right now. And I have this other one named Covenant Keeper. Dan Corner, okay? So here we go.
I really treat that. I have what I'm done that you will feel friendly about me. If you'd like to give an offer to me, I'll be glad to give you a hug back. As Dan mentioned, I'm coming from a Roman Catholic background, and in my early 20s, I repented and put my faith in the Lord Jesus, and I became a Christian. It was a radical change in my life. Instantly, I got set free from my sin addiction, and it was like a bomb went off inside, and everything changed. Everything. And my faith and trust in everything I had believed in religiously changed, and I started to wonder about the Catholic Bible, because I got saved by reading the Catholic Bible. The old family Catholic Bible was under a sack of books in the room. I remember digging underneath the sack and blowing off the dust, and I started to read it, and that's how I ended up getting saved. And I asked a friend of mine at the time, who happened to be a Baptist, I asked him, what's the most accurate translation of the Bible that we could read? He said, the King James. Okay. So I went down to the bookstore and I bought a big family KJV. Not just a smaller Bible that you might be carrying in your hand. I bought a family size, and that's what I would carry to church. And that's what I was reading. I used to be a KJV only item. And basically it came from what the Baptist friend of mine had told me about reading the King James. Everything I had trusted in was thoroughly taken. Everything. Just because mom and dad raised me a certain way, it doesn't mean, even though they love you, that it's necessarily correct. You have to base it on the Word of God. But now the issue is, what's the Word of God? What is the Word of God? Because we're dealing now with an issue called KJV onlyism. That's the belief, as you probably know. Only the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God. It is not the KJV. It's not the Word of God. In fact, the leaders, the main teachers of KJV onlyism would say, it's not even a version, it's a perversion. They say that if you read something like the NIV, the NASB, the English Standard Version, even the New King James Bible, that this is part of a New Age conspiracy that will lead people to take the mark of the beast and to worship the devil. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but believe it or not, people like Gail Ridlinger and others actually teach that way. It's strange, very, very strange. So anyhow, because of the different things that we are into in our ministry, all kind of people contact us, especially since we have a website. And this issue of KJBOism is a hot potato. I mean, there are people out there that sincerely believe that you are of the devil. And you're not preaching the word of God, and I don't want to hear anything you have to say that's not KJV. If you want a book, if it's not based on KJV, I don't think there's anything in it that's even worth reading. So let's look at this issue, and let's examine and see just exactly how solid those beliefs are. Does anybody in here have a 1611 edition of the KJV besides me? You probably have the 1769 Blaney edition. One quick, easy way to know if you have the 1611, does it have the Apocrypha in it? If it doesn't have the Apocrypha, you don't have the 1611. This is a reprint of the 1611. Everything that was in it, including the preface and just everything else, as well as the Apocrypha. Now, some of you, coming from a Catholic background, you probably are aware of the Apocrypha. But I want you to see, if you could look up here just for a moment, can you see from paperclip to paperclip?
Yeah.
That is the width of the Apocrypha. From paperclip to paperclip. Now, if you're playing with the New Testament, that's the equivalency of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st Thessalonians. Over one half of the New Testament. That's how thick the Apocrypha is. Okay, so the 1611 KJV had the Apocrypha in it. Now, people say only the King James is the Word of God. Really, what they mean is they're coming back to the 1611 edition. So they're actually saying indirectly, even though they never really thought this out, they're actually saying the Apocrypha is the Word of God. That's what they're saying. Indirectly. They probably would scream it all and say, no, it's not the Word of God. But when they say the 1611 edition is the Word of God, and this was in that edition, they're endorsing the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha has praying for the dead, the belief of purgatory, as well as in Tobit, that you give to the poor so that your sins can be forgiven. Three heresies. And rightly so. The Apocrypha should be rejected and correctly has been removed from the later edition of the KJV. And that's wonderful. Thank God they got it out of there. The book should have never been in there. Never. It was in there for quite some time. I think they went through like five editions before they finally threw it out. But now, thank God it's out. I wanted to point that out. Now, see, that's significant. And the reason it's significant is because one of the top arguments from the King James only camp is that word is missing. That phrase is missing. You've got to be a prophet for this one. That's why taking it out Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st Thessalonians. They're missing. I noticed this, especially with Gail Ridlinger. When you're dealing with Gail Ridlinger, you're dealing with a woman that has a double standard. You're the woman that will condemn all translations of the Bible based on that listing for a Catholic connection, especially a Catholic connection. And when it comes back to the KJV, that kind of argument doesn't apply. But I'm not so sure, why wouldn't it? Well, I mean, why can't we use the same standard to examine the KJV? I believe that when you look at the 1611 KJV, there's a very significant and glaring Catholic connection. Just the mere fact that the Apocrypha is in it, but also at the very beginning of this translation, believe it or not, they have various holy days listed. A page of holy days over here. Perhaps some of you can see it. As part of the list there would be the purification of the Virgin Mary and the Annunciation of Our Lady, similar to what you might read if you were a Roman Catholic. Now, besides that, we have the fact about Desiderius Erasmus. Erasmus was the one that formulated the text of Revelation, which is what the TV is based upon. There's two basic camps of Greek manuscripts. You have the text of Revelation, and you have the Alexandrian text. They both have Catholic connections. You can't say, well, that one over there is connected with the Vatican, and therefore it should go in the Vatican. Well, Desiderius Erasmus was a faithful Roman Catholic priest who dedicated the first edition of the text of the Septuagint to Pope Leo X.
Okay, that was a break right there, and I'm thinking it's coming back on again. Yeah, that was a break right there. Now, I want to say something before I go further on. He was talking about the apocryphal books of the Bible. Now, according to what I found on that, which, like I said, this is some new stuff to me because I didn't realize that. I'm going to tell you what the apocryphal books of the Bible were. I'm going to tell you the names of them. They had, says, let's see, the first book of Esdra is also known as the third book of Esdra. The second book of Esdra, also known as the fourth book of Esdra. Tobit, Judith, the editions of the book of Esther, the wisdom of Solomon, the Ecclesiastes, or the wisdom of Jesus, the son of Sirach, and Buruk, and the letter of Jeremiah. It says this letter is sometimes incorporated as the last chapter of Buruk. When this is done, the number of books is 14 instead of 15. Then it also says the prayer of Azariah, and the song of the three young men, Susanna, Bel, and the dragon, the prayer of Manasseh, the first book of Maccabees, and the second book of Maccabees. It says three of these 15 books, first and second extra, and the prayer of Manasseh are not considered canonical by the Roman Catholic Church. In Catholic Bibles, the remaining 12 are interspersed among and attached to the undisputed 39 books of the Old Testament. Tobit, Judith, Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Baruch, with the letter of Jeremiah, and the first and second Maccabees, which are arranged separately. The additions to Esther are joined to Esther and appended to the book of Daniel are the prayer of Azariah and the song of the three young men added after Daniel 3:23, and Susanna and the bell and the dragon, first and second Esdra of the Catholic Bible are not the same as the first and second Esdra in the above list, but are different designations for our books Esdra and Nehemiah. Since several of the apocryphal writings are combined with canonical books, the Catholic Bible numbers altogether 46 books in its Old Testament, non-Catholic editions of the English Bible since 1535, including early editions of the familiar King James Version, separate these apocryphal books from the canonical Old Testament. Ask me what I just read, and I am totally confused. in a sense. I know that they said these books, I just named the books that they took out the Bible. Now, this says right here, these books that were taken out the Bible, they kind of broke them down. And what they were saying, what this explains is the idea, why are we making such a big deal about these books? Because actually they weren't a big deal for the King James Version, and that's the reason why they took it out. Now, according to, it says right here, it says why these books were rejected. Now, this is according to this website called BibleTopics.com. And it says, let's see, it says why these books were rejected. It says a brief survey of these books has indicated something of what they are like. Some of the books of the Apocrypha, such as 1st and 2nd Maccabees and Ecclesiastes, are truly worthwhile. The question, however, concerns not their usefulness, but their place in relation to the authority of scriptures. Should they be received as scripture or rejected? And if they are to be rejected, on what grounds? Are there really good reasons why they should not be accepted as divinely authoritative? These are many valid reasons. There are many valid reasons why the Apocrypha cannot bear acceptance as holy scripture. Okay? Number one, it says, these books were never included in the Hebrew canon of the Old Testament. Josephus, it will be recalled, expressly limited the Hebrew canon to 22 books, which are the exact equivalent of the 39 books of our Old Testament. Josephus knew of other Jewish writings down to his time, but he did not regard them as having equal authority with the canonical works. So, the Apocrypha were never received by the Jews as God-given scripture. This takes on its full significance when it is remembered that the Old Testament is a Jewish collection of Jewish history and law. And there is no evidence that these books were ever accepted by any Jewish community, either in or outside of the land of Palestine. Now, it says number two reason. These books, as far as the evidence goes, were never accepted as the canonical by Jesus and his apostles. In the previous chapter, it was learned that the Old Testament, which Jesus knew is our Old Testament today, Jesus' Old Testament was the Hebrew Old Testament, and Hebrew Old Testament has never numbered these apocryphal writings. The apostles and their preaching mentioned many Old Testament events, but they never referred to any incidents or characters of the Apocrypha. The New Testament writers quote from practically all the Old Testament books, but nowhere quote from the Apocrypha as scripture. The canon of the Old Testament accepted by Jesus and his apostles should be significant for the Christian today. Number three, these books were not accepted as scripture by such Jewish writers of the first century as Philo and Josephus, the Jewish council at Jamina, 90 AD, and by such eminent Christian writers as Origen and Jerome, about 400 AD, the great Christian scholar Jerome, whose translation of the Latin Vulgate remains the basis of the official Roman Catholic Bible, strongly maintained that these books were apocryphal and were not to be included in the canon of Scripture. Okay? Now, I can go on and on and on, but I don't want to confuse you or confuse myself, because I want the explanation to continue. Now, when I finish with Mr. Dan Corners, there's another young gentleman or whatever that has something to say about the word Jesus. I just so happened was listening to him, and he had some good points, but, you know, I want you guys to find out, you know, for yourself. As you listen to this, how do you feel about it? Okay? Now, let's see. Before we go any further, they're called the Lost Books of the Bible, and they kind of break them down. Now, Okay, it's two different subjects. I'm sorry. The lost books of the Bible and the Apocrypha is two different things. They're not the same. And I wait on that on another subject at another time. But anyway, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go ahead and continue with this conversation with Mr. Excuse me, I think he's a reverend. I'm sorry. Reverend Dan Corners is his name.
Now, if somebody came into your meeting
that was wearing gay clothes, we would tend to think, well, it may be a homosexual. Listen to this. I mentioned that paragraph. Careful doesn't mean cautious, it means anxious. Suffer doesn't mean feel pain or distress, but it means allow. Faint doesn't mean pass out, but it means relax. Quick does not mean fast, it means alive. Conversation is not something that happens between two or more people, but it's referring to one's behavior. Lax is not something that handles are made out of, but it means to become. Peculiar does not mean odd or strange. In the King James, it's a special person who is one's own. If you're a peculiar person, you're bought by the blood of Jesus. You belong to God. You're a peculiar person in that way. The people of this world, the children of the devil, they're not of God. They're of the devil, amen? Isn't that the truth? Rude does not mean discourteous. It means not trained in the KJV. Gay clothing, not clothing worn by homosexuals, but bright, expensive clothing. Present does not mean keep commanding. It means precede. Communicate does not convey information about, but it means share with. Denounce does not condemn or accuse openly, but it means declare. And charity does not mean give relief to the poor, but it means love. So we got a problem. We got a communication problem. We got something that's going to block our ability to understand what God wants us to know. Okay. Now, I run into King James on the ice and say, well, all you have to do is carry a certain type of dictionary with you, and you can look up these words. But sometimes you won't even know what word to look up. Sometimes you won't know that particular word. I'm not talking about one that is hard to pronounce or a word that you've never heard before. I'm talking about words that you have heard. I remember I was evangelizing in downtown Pittsburgh a number of years ago, and I talked to a man on Liberty Avenue about salvation, and he said this to me. He said, we are saved by suffering. I said, well, why would you say that? What do you base that on? And he said to me, well, the Bible says, suffer the little children that come unto me. He thought that word suffer, as found in the King James, meant suffering as we would tend to use it. That's what he thought. He didn't know that word means allow the little children to come unto me. I remember when I first started reading other translations than the KJV, what really hit me was in Hebrews chapter 4, it's speaking of the word of God, it's alive. KJV says it's quick. I thought it meant fast, but that word means alive. Okay, well, let's talk about something else. Because one of the chief arguments of the King James Only camp is that there was a homosexual Virginia Bowen cop that was part of the NIV translating committee. And that's true. That's a factual statement. The other part of the statement about her is that she was removed. But did you know one of the translators, one of the 47 translators of the KJV was Richard Thomas, who was a known drunkard and was never removed from the translating committee. Did you know that? I did. That's right. Woke that clip. So again, the same standard that would condemn all these other persons will condemn the KJV. You're leaving that out. We'll condemn this. You got the Catholic connection, which will condemn this. You got a person that's immoral on the translating committee that will condemn this. But folks, let me ask you a question. Does it change the message of God's word? Absolutely, positively, no. The Bible is the truth. I'll tell you what I've done. I don't know about the rest of you. I have spent, and this is no exaggeration, a minimum.
Okay, as you can see, as you can hear, what Mr. Corner is saying, and I can understand a lot of it, I can see where the misinterpretation of some of the words, according to the King James Version, according to the NIV Version, I can see that there is some mistakes that are missing. Now, the problem is, and he said something that I don't agree with. He said something, there's a change to God, the way God's word is. In a sense, it does, because you have people believe in one way, and then when you find out that some of the translators translated things differently, yeah, it does change the way you view the word. Yeah, it does. A couple of words to some people will change your whole way of thinking. It will do that with certain words. So I don't agree that it's still saying that it's God's word. I just, that part I don't believe in. I mean, I have issues with that. And when you hear the rest of this, you will hear a commotion in the background, just like blows me away, because people are literally arguing and walking out of the church while he's preaching because they didn't agree with what he was saying. People will get ignorant, and I call it ignorant because you can't sit down and talk to them about it, because it's been entrenched in us about the King James Version. They're saying, now one section saying that it's not a big deal that they messed up the words and that it was translated in two different, several different languages. But it's very important because everybody didn't interpret the Bible the same way. These people who wrote the King James Version of the Bible, as you heard him say, had Catholic backgrounds. Why? I mean, come on. Roman Catholics, you have Greeks, you have let me see, it was Greeks, Hebrew, and then you have Roman Catholic. So you think about all of those combinations. Everything is not going to come out and sound the same. Why was it written to the point where it was like that? I don't know. But you have a lot of people who believe that Bible from one end to the other, including myself, because I'm not going to exclude myself from that. And imagine that, man, this is deep. And we haven't been paying attention. And I'm really hoping you guys are understanding what they're saying about the King James Version of the Bible and how important it is for us to know what we read. It is very so much important that we understand and that there are not several different interpretations of what the word says. Because it is, it can be confusing. And right now, a lot of people don't even want to hear that because it's so in them. Entrenched generation from generation to generation of really what is, you know, what this book is that has sold the whole world on. Because it's one of the highest, what they're saying, the most sold book in the world, the Bible. So it's scary that we're not paying attention to what we really need to pay attention to, you know. Know your heart, know in you what your spirit says. And understand, don't just read it and let somebody else read it to you and you don't understand it. You need to know what it says and understand it from you, not from somebody else. You need to understand. And I'm going to play a part also in here where the translators of the King James Version is going to say certain things and get you to understand something. So let me move on. I'm sorry.
$5,000 easy in the Bible. After five members of my family died, I know positively the day's coming that I'm going to go down. Whatever eternity, the Bible says most will go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm very serious about entering God's kingdom. What I want to do is to make sure I understand what the word of God is and what God's will is. And when I come to Scripture and I compare the KJV to these other translations, it is at least 99.5% the same. Did you hear that? You've heard the KJV only camp say, well, if you use something other than a King James, what they do, they leave the verses out about the deity of Christ. Oh, not true. Absolutely, positively not true. I fought J.W., the Jehovah's Witnesses, by using non-King James Version translations of all kind of verses in the NESV, the English Standard Version, the NIV, and other ones that show the deity of Christ. Okay, somebody might say, well, I don't know, this is strange. Are you saying then that there's no true word of God? No, I am saying this is the word of God. I am saying what we got in these translations is the word of God. And we can and will be his children if you do the simple things that the Bible says, which is repent and faithfully follow Jesus. places is finding out certain words are a continuing tense. This is John 3:16. If you have the young, and by the way, I want you to know that young is based on the text of receptive. And young, all the young, choose part the KJV. As does Jay Green. Jay Green also shows all kind of flaws in the KJV. I'll give you one right now. Listen to this. We're probably all acquainted with this. Acts 16, verse 17. These men are servants of the Most High God, telling you the way of salvation. Remember that? Was demon possessed girl Philippi spoke those words? I remember for years I scratched my head. I couldn't understand. This is a woman that has a demon in her. Why would that demon want to endorse Paul and Silas that way? Well, folks, believe it or not, it doesn't say one way, but the Greek. At one of the times, the King James translators made a mistake. The translators put the word God instead of the word ah there. It actually says in the Greek, and you can look at it yourself, it's based on the text of Susceptus. These men are servants of the Most High God, telling you a way of salvation, not that way. How about 1 Timothy 6:10? You know that one? The love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Is it the root or a root? Is it possible to go do evil out there and not really have money in mind at all? How about just revenge? How about just hate? How about just jealousy? How about some other thing other than money, which changes the way you would look at that? And all you have to do, if you check Greek, check young, also based on the text of Susceptus, you'll see the resistance. Why? That's because the Greek text of Susceptus should not be translated like they did in 1611. Folks, I love it. They were not inspired. They were not inspired people. It's the original autographs that were inspired. The Greek and the Hebrew was inspired, not the translators. The translators make mistakes. And by the way, for those of you that disagree with me, if you believe the translators of the 1611 were inspired, then you should read other translations, because that's what they thought. Did you know that? In the beginning of the 1611 edition, a statement here to the reader from the translator. And the translator of the 1611 say you should read more than one translation of the Bible. And I say, amen. That's why I've been teaching people for years. If you want a blessing, read more than one translation of the Bible. I started reading other translations, the NASB and other ones, and it was such a wonderful blessing, to get another shade of meaning, especially the young. Because young brings things out like in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever is believing, it doesn't mean you have a moment of belief and you can stop believing. That word in John 3:16 is a continuous tense. It's a present tense. Whoever believes on him will not perish but has everlasting life. Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful find? Isn't that great? That thrilled my soul to find that. I thought, yeah, that helps me to understand that we have to continue to believe. When Jesus gave us John 3:16, he's telling us, you keep believing and you'll never perish. You keep believing, you keep following and you'll never perish. Oh, here's another. Make sure you listen to this. Please, please, don't miss this one. And I love the way the NASB brings it out. And there are other translations likewise that bring it out. John 3:36. John 3:36, if you're acquainted with the King James, it's going to say that either the wrath of God abides on you or you're believing. But if you look at the Greek word for the opposite of believing means disobedience. It means you're disobeying. And you're not obeying. In other words, the truth of the word believe as on Jesus, which you must have, God's kingdom means to obey. If you're not obeying, you're not believing. Did you get that? If you're not obeying Jesus, you're not believing on Jesus. That's what John 3:36 and elsewhere in Hebrews teaches about the word believe. I'm not, again, that's a nugget that you'll get if you're reading some other translation. Okay. Now, somebody might say, well, you're telling me something that I can't fully swallow. I have trouble with this. How about this one? Did you know that the differences between your edition of the KJV and the original 1611 is more than just the apocryphal? You've been told the differences are the spelling, the punctuation, and the italics. That's not true. There are words added and words taken out in your translation that you're reading from the 1611. I'll give you an example. Right over here.
Okay, now wait. I don't understand why he's always got the burden. Why are you rather seeing you? Why don't you read
it? Okay. Recommend reading other translations. Now, some translations, like the Living Bible,
I meant to play that because I wanted you guys to hear how serious people are in the situation with the King James Version of the Bible. Now, he was also mentioning something called Textus Receptus, and what that is the preserved Word of God in the Greek New Testament. Because remember, we were saying earlier that the King James Version, 1611 version of it, was written by the Roman Catholics, the Greeks had something to do with it, and Hebrews had something to do with that original version of the King James Bible. So those are things that you have to keep in mind because those are different languages that were taught, and then when they got the 49 put together, the translators, you got to think. Now, remember he mentioned one of the translators that was a drunkard. So just imagine what he translated. You know what I'm saying? He was on the I don't know if he did the translation, but he was on the translation committee. That doesn't necessarily mean he actually did any translation. So even if he did, just imagine what he messed up. So I don't think it's the big thing is with this whole situation is that I don't even really think they were mistakes. It's just the way that people talked back then, the languages that were used when they were writing the King James Version. And basically, that's what makes it have so much of a difference in how we say things, because he gave you like 14 different words that had different meanings according to the NIV version of the Bible and then the King James Version. So words, the play on words, can have a big effect on how you believe in stuff and, you know, believe in the Bible. So that's something to keep in mind. That's why they're making such a big deal about this whole thing, about the King James Version. Now, I'm thinking the next thing that I'm going to let you guys hear, he calls himself a covenant keeper, and he's a Hebrewite is what it is. I want you to hear what he says about the word Jesus, that it wasn't in the 1611, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's been coming up. It wasn't in the 1611 version of the King James Bible. So I think that's what he's going to be explaining. Just a second here.
Was not written in English. This is an elementary video.
videos. It's called One-on-One. Because those of you that I have watched my other teachings, just kind of bear with me on this, and you don't have to watch this video if you don't desire to. But this is all going to be because I need for the those that are a little fluff, okay? The Bible was not originally written in English. Amazing that the teachers that who've been teaching for years think the Bible is written in English, and we think English, but we don't read it in English. Brothers and sisters, the Bible was not written in English. The original Old Testament Bible was written in Hebrew. All right? Actually, the Paleo script for that matter. Now, I'm saying from cover to cover, from Genesis to Matthew. Now, let me show you something. This Bible has 66 books. This Bible has over 80 books, right? This Bible was the original Bible that King James translated. It has what's called the Apocrypha books. This Bible doesn't have the Apocrypha books. This Bible only has 66. In this Bible, you have about 300 or 400 years of missing history. In this Bible here, you have a continuous story that flows directly up into the time of the birth of the Messiah. Now, I'm going to say this and I'm going to face the point. I want you to go to the bookstore and get this King James 1611 edition. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But first, I want to say this. We have teachers that have this foolish teaching. It says that the Father's name is Jesus. How stupid can you be, brothers and sisters? Your father didn't speak English. English wasn't around when the father told the prophet Moshe what his name was. All right, now, look at me close as I share it with you and I prepare to close this video out. In this 1611, the name Jesus is not there. The name of Jesus is not in the 1611 edition, the original King James. What name was there? Okay? It was the name I-E-S-O-U-S. I-E-S-O-U-S. So the Messiah's name in the prior to this modern King James version was I-E-S-O-U-S. We know that wasn't his name. Okay, now. If you say that the Messiah's name is Jesus, somebody said it's called King James because he thought the Messiah's name was Isis. Now, you've been calling him Jesus for the past however old you are, at least 100 years or less. So, in the 1600s and the 1700s, it wasn't until almost the 1800s that the name was changed to Jesus. The I became a J in the translation. So now, as I close, I just want to say, if you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, get a 1611 King James. The 1611 edition and look at it. And go to Matthew chapter 1. And it will tell you his name was not Jesus. His name was Isis. Isis goes back to Isis in Egypt, which is the Egyptian fertility deity. Okay? Isis goes back to Isis. And on the communion table, probably at your church, if you look at the communion table, you'll see the symbol IHX, which stands for Isis, Heart, and Set. So Set, that's what those initials stand for. The Messiah's name is never Jesus. His name is never Isis. His name is not the Latin Jesus, or Hades for that matter. The Greeks worship Zeus, and Zeus was their god. And when they got hold of the scriptures, they translated the scriptures and put a substitute. It's not a language issue. It's a substitution. Jesus was not a transliteration. It's a substitution. They substituted a foreign deity and put his name in the scriptures in place of Messiah. So, check it out, and I'll be back at you. Until next time, may bless you one time.
Kiefer said, I didn't know that until I looked that up too, about the name Jesus and where it came from. And it is in the King James Version, the new King James Version, like you said, the 1800s, after the 1800s. In the 1611 original King James Version, it's nowhere in there. So, again, confusion, controversy, and probably a lot of mad people. So, what I want to do now is kind of lighten it up a little bit and play a little music. Okay. Let's see. Let's play a little Babyface.
I don't come no to
sorry, that was Brother Johnson. He's not playing what I asked him to play. Sorry. Here we go.
Can my heart beat again? When does the pain never end? When do the tears start running over? When does you get over it again? I hear it say, but I swear that's not making sense. So when can I see you? When can I see you again? When can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? When can I breathe once again? Yeah. When does my Sunday begin? Will I find someone again? What if I still am not truly over? What am I supposed to do then? You know what I'm saying? Breaking sand. So when can I see you? When can I see you again? When can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? When can I breathe?
Okay. That's When Can I See You Again by Babyface. We're going to go ahead and I'm thinking this is the last segment of this that I'm going to put for you guys, and it's the version about the translation. The translators are explaining what did they do to do the translation. Sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry, you guys. Slight technical difficulties. Like, stop the music, Salita, stop the music. There we go, Chocolate Lady, go ahead. I would have stopped the music earlier. So I'm going to play the last version, and like I said, this is basically the translator explaining what they translated and why they translated. Let's see if it'll work for me.
God does not wish to mask his word with the language that was in use 400 years ago. There is no reason why the word of God should be forbidden to be covered. He wrote in our 1611 King James Translation the following. No cause, therefore, why the word translated should be denied to be the word or forbidden to be correct, notwithstanding that some imperfections and blemishes may be noted in the betting forces. It is a shame that the majestic 1611 languages become obscure to the modern man, and this obscurity tends to darken the sense of God's word. This very thing was happening back in our time. He wrote, we have on the one side avoided the scrupulosity of the Puritans who leave the old ecclesiastical word, and we take them to water, as when they come rushing for baptism and congregation instead of churches. Also, on the other side, we have shunned the obscurity of the habit in their raindines, viewing the rational holocaust, purple ash, and a number of such lights. There are merely translations, and that is purpose to darken the sense that simply must be translated by opening by the language the rest may be kept from being understood. We desire that the scripture be itself in the language of Jesus, that it may be understood even of the very vulgar. It means
The curtain that we may look into the most holy place. Now, from the
1611 proponents utter such ignorant words. Frankly, the translators of the 1611 version didn't know I'd even believe this ourselves. I wrote in the preface of your precious Bible, we do not deny, may we affirm and vow, that the very meanest translations of the Bible in English, sent forth by men of our profession, contain it the word of God, nay, is the word of God, as the King's speech, which he uttered in Parliament and speech translated into French, Dutch, Italian, and Latin, he still the King, though it be not interpreted by every translator with the like grace, nor fragmented so fitly for praise, nor so expressly for them everywhere. No cause, therefore, why the word translated should be denied to be the word, or forbidden to be current, notwithstanding that some perfections and blemishes may be noted in the telling forth of it. For is the kingdom of God to become worshipful? I will end this topic with final idea that the modern translators undoubtedly share with us, the 1611 translators. We wrote every building upon their foundation that went before, and being chosen by their labors, willing ever to make the better which they left so good. No man, we are sure, have cause to dislike us. They, we persuade ourselves, if they were alive, would thank us. Now, please wake up and shake off the cult bugs.
Okay. The translator was convincing us that according to what the King James Version of 1611 was saying, and what they were saying is that they didn't make no mistakes, and that if people interpreted it the wrong way, then, in other words, look, we're not changing it. He said we would keep it the same way it was back then. They was going to do it. I mean, they're not changing it. I don't think they did anything wrong, and it's our fault that we don't understand it, and da-da-da-da-da. That's what I got out of that. I got out of that that the translators were being very cocky. That's just my interpretation of what that was just said. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's just what I got out of that. So, as you can see, that this can go on and on and on, and everybody can have their opinion about what the King James Version was supposed to say and what it didn't say and what it should have said. All together, and to summarize this whole situation up to me so that we can move on to something different. If you have any questions or comments, you could have called in 347-677-17. For the 9, we have 11 minutes left, but I want to say this. Because, like, and the translator said the same thing, we've so entrenched ourselves in what that King James Version say, it's going to be very hard-pressed to try to change people's minds about what it says. And like I said, people will get fussed for that. They will get teed off if you come to them any other way. So my advice to you is read more than one Bible. If you think that you would have problems with a lot of stuff, just read. You have the Standard English Bible, you have the NIV Bible. You read different Bibles. I mean, you have the Greek Bible. I told you about that one, the preserved Word of God, which was the Christian Old Testament, I think, or New Testament. The Greek New Testament, which is the Textus Receptus. You know, read other things. Study the Word. That's what it says. Study not just that Bible, but study the Word. Find out the history of really what was going on, and so that you can learn in your mind what really happened. You know, it's up to us to do that. You know, we can't argue something that we don't know anything about. We can't just jump up and say it's not true. You know, when we haven't done our background study, not to say that we're trying to convince anybody to believe exactly what we believe. It's just to me, it just gets. I mean, to me, I've learned something. And it just so happened I was talking to someone earlier today, and they said the same thing. They totally agreed with what I said. I mean, we sat down and we actually came with a common ground, and it surprised me that this person actually had a common ground with me and understood what I was saying, and we kind of was giving back facts back and forth to each other that we learned. So just a second. I think I have a caller here. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Very interesting topic today. Do the people really understand how important it is to know the history of the Bible?
You know what? Actually, if you were to listen, did you hear how the guys got upset when I was? They got upset and walked out the whole thing. So yeah, people are very touchy about this. Very, very touchy about this.
Well, touchy and understanding is two different things, huh?
Yeah, but it's ingrained in their mind about the, King James Version. It's so much ingrained in us, let me talk about this to somebody else. I guarantee you somebody would cuss me out by the time we finished, they would stop speaking to me. But earlier today, someone called me, and we were talking, and we actually had the same common ground on what I've learned from this, because they learned the same thing, the history behind the King James Version. And if you don't have that 1611, then you don't know. But it's so easy to deceive us. You know, I don't care what nobody say. I think we are the most gullible people on earth. I really do.
When you say that, you mean the United States
I think people in general. I think people in general are very gullible.
Well, when you leave out of the United States, they're more red, I think, in the word, and their opinion and angle when it comes to the Bible is totally different than ours, especially from the historic perspective. They include the Dark Ages and how you read the Bible and when it was not available to people and you know, Jesus is not blonde, blue eyes. The Bible is not a Caucasian religion, but you have to go outside the country to get that view.
Exactly. That is so true. Well,
forgive me, I didn't know that you came on before 9 o'clock. I was waiting till 9, and I get on at 9 and see you've been on for half an hour.
Yeah. No, I come on at 8. It's 8 to 9:30.
Okay, so I'm looking at it at 9 o'clock for whatever reason on my computer. But it's good to hear your voice again, and I see you're still on the battlefield.
You know, I got to stay on the battlefield. I got to stay on it.
Great.
I don't have anywhere to send your invitation.
You need my address, or you have my Facebook?
Can you send it to me through my Facebook page?
I can.
Okay. All
right.
Send it in a message. Thanks for calling in.
And keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Back to he caught me off guard. I didn't expect for him to call in, but I'm glad he did. And he did, like he said. And I was truly, I misinterpreted what I should have said it differently. I should have said it like American people are gullible, because he did make a good point. He said that when you go outside this country, people are more up to date on stuff that's going around because they're in these different countries like Greece. Guaranteed you, if we go to Greece, and I guarantee you they'll pull up that Texas Receptus, and some of the stuff that's in there will be part of what we're talking about as far as the 1611 version of the King James Bible. So if you do get a chance to leave out this country, to be honest with you, you will see different things and you will hear different things, because it's just amazing how we are. We are really ignorant, and we think we're the strongest country in the world, and we're just as ignorant because people laugh at us. Other countries laugh at us because we don't spend enough time in our history and knowing what's the background of everything that we do. There's a backstory to everything, and if you don't try to learn the backstory, then you can't go forward. And a lot of people don't, they're not interested in the backstory. It's just what they say and what somebody has taught them and stuck in their head to make them believe. Well, you have to learn how to have your own mind, and that's the problem. A lot of people don't have their own mind. They take what they learned, a little bit of it, and that's what they live their life off of. And sometimes you have to learn outside. Come outside your comfort zone. Come outside your box and learn and see other things. Because if you don't, you're going to be ignorant. And life is going to pass you by, and you'll never learn anything. And you'll go to your grave not knowing nothing. So that's why it's so good to think outside the box, learn from other cultures, you know, it's something else I learned today, and it just surprised the hell out of me. I didn't know it. And I'll bring it to you guys because I just it's shocking me after I kind of looked at a video on it. I was like, I cannot believe this. But ignorance, my ignorance, not knowing and not doing an in-depth research on it is what got me where I could not believe what I saw today. But now I can understand the viewpoint of some people's opinion about certain things is because I learned something today. But anyway, I had a great show tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys come back, and I hope you guys listen and learn something from this. And if you have any questions about what we talked about tonight as far as the King James Version of the Bible, the 1611 version of it, and the truth and the non-truth of the King James Version, please, you can catch me on Facebook. You can also get a lot of this stuff. I'm getting a lot of history from YouTube, and I didn't realize YouTube had so much good information. You can go to YouTube, pick up a book and read it. Promise you, you guys will learn so much if you pick up a book and read. I just want you guys to have a great night. I'm 3 minutes into my show. I think I'm going to kind of shut it down a little bit earlier tonight. I enjoyed this conversation, this discussion. Anytime you guys have anything you want to ask me, please, you can ask me here on Blog Talk. You can catch me on Sensible64@yahoo.com, and you can also catch me on Facebook. I would love for you guys to connect with me on Facebook. I like to give out a lot of good information, and I love to get information, and I learn so much from other people. And I say this, guys, all the time. It is so good to be able to communicate with other people. I love it. I'm telling you, you learn so much. I guess I'm not meant to be a person by myself because my head, I got too much in my brain, and I have so much stuff going on in my head that just learning from other people is just such a good thing. You know, whether it's positive or negative, I'm learning something, and that's what makes it so great for me. So I want to say thank you for my caller who called in, Mr. Johnson. I'm hoping you have a great night. Again, happy Veterans Day. It's almost over with, but happy Veterans Day to all my fellow veterans. You guys have a great evening. Have a great weekend because you have a weekend coming up. Some people took off tomorrow. Some people will be taking off tomorrow. So some people have a 2 or 3 day weekend. Enjoy it. Stay safe. I love you guys. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. Good night.